is ensuring workplace safety, much more. So leave your hiring to the one place that makes finding qualified candidates fast and easy. ZipRecruiter.com/Greeny. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, to try ZipRecruiter for free, my listeners can go to ZipRecruiter.com/Greeny. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Greeny. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
The new Michelin silicone plates last through everything.
On a world record-breaking drive from Alaska to South America in unpredictable conditions.
Thunderstorms, ice storms, they just don't quit.
Rainier Zeitlote chose Michelin Endurance XT silicone wiper blades with advanced quad-tech 4-layer coated silicone that repels water, snow, and ice and lasts 2 times longer than other blades.
It's coming down in sheets.
Real world proven. Extreme weather wiping performance. Upgrade to Michelin Endurance XT silicone wiper blades today. Only at Walmart.
As a recipient of a prize from Coastal Broadcasting of La Rose, Incorporated, also known as KLRZ 100.3 FM ESPN New Orleans, you are responsible for applicable taxes and our licensing fees. We're not responsible if a prize is damaged or breaks, an event is canceled, or business closes. When mailing prizes, our station is not responsible for prizes that are damaged or lost. One winner per household for 30 days. Winner must have a picture ID and must pick up the prize within 30 days. You can pick up most prizes at our studio office, 11603 Highway 308, La Rose. Thank you for listening.
Hi, I'm Casey Gisclair.
And I'm Stan Gravois.
Join us every Saturday right here for the Sports Corner.
High school, college, and national sports.
Coaches and call-ins and your take on our opinions in the world of sports.
So join us every Saturday from 10 to noon.
Right here on the Sports Corner, presented by TGMC Community Sports Institute.
10 to noon.
On ESPN 100.3.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
32-17 Ridgely Drive in Metairie. That is the site of tomorrow's race, 12:45. You're going to come watch Sissy take on Jordan in the foot race. I'll reach out to the graph this hour, see if you'd like to do a little play-by-play on that Facebook Live. Hour two, got a couple of guests for you. Ali Colsell will be joining us at 1:15. John J. Hendricks has chimed in. He said he's free. 1:30, we'll talk Saints with him. Ali from The Bird writes on the very latest of your head coaching search for the New Orleans Pelicans. 4 finalists, Ty Lue, Stan Van Gundy, being named as 2 of the 4. Jamal Mosley, Will Weaver, the other 4 as well, perhaps. So we'll get into all of that and more coming up. And then at 1:45, Dr. Holly McKenna, Cajun Ninja 2:30. Rest of the show is open. Got some sound. Pair of Saints players spoke this morning, Callaway and Rankins. Head coach Sean Payton as well. We'll play yet again in the top of this segment his thoughts about the team playing in Baton Rouge at LSU in front of fans. But first, welcome to the Midway Point of Your Work Week.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is?
It's hump day.
Hump day! I know you can hear me. Let's get
stupid. Today's more about what that camera Wednesday hump day is.
Here he is, Shaq T, the digital underground. Head coach Sean of the Payton letting you know. It meets the midway point of your work week. Jordan, question of the day. What do you got today? What do you got today?
Yeah, we actually have 2 of them.
Okay.
Derrick Henry's stiff arm heard around the world.
Heard around the world.
Better stiff arm, Shy Tuttle on Matty Ice, or Derrick Henry.
Peace and humpiness forever.
All right, sorry, got to get the words of wisdom in. There you go. All right, now you can continue.
Or Derrick Henry
on
Josh Norman.
And you betrayed your New Orleans Saints by voting for Derrick Henry.
It was an accident. My finger slipped.
Nope.
The other question is, what do you think of the Saints potentially playing in Baton Rouge?
I can't believe he voted for Derrick Henry. It's not even close. Do we have any responses? I don't even think anyone would vote for Derrick Henry over Shy Tuttle if you're a Saints fan.
No, the poll at 58.8%, Shy Tuttle leads the way over Derrick Henry with 41.2%.
I just think, like, man, the fact against it was a Falcon. Noodler. Let me see that picture again.
Hey,
now, look, Josh Norman was thrown in the air.
Ever since, well, actually, it's been before that. But ever since then, it really felt like Matt Ryan's really just fell off of a cliff.
Think so? You think Shy Tuttle was the issue?
This past week, and even today, we have sound from the national media. This is Matty Ice's last season.
No! No more Matty Rice?
Yes, it's his last season, and next year will be his first season in San Francisco. Obviously, he has a relationship with Kyle Shanahan. That was Matt Ryan's best season in his career back when he was an MVP. And the 49ers are not committed to Garoppolo going forward. There's just about $2.8 million worth of dead money on his contract next year. I think that we could see Matt Ryan out west and the Falcons trying to rebuild around the draft picks that they get for that trade.
And it's interesting that that
makes a lot of sense. That legitimately makes a lot of sense. He was the MVP under Shanahan.
It's interesting because I know you said yesterday that, I don't know, I have to look into it a little bit more, that the Falcons might be open to trading Julio Jones.
Yeah, I mean, again, they were talking about it yesterday on NFL Live, and we played that one bite of saying, hey, look, I mean, if that's the case, that's going to be open. The Packers apparently inquired. Or somebody was saying, like, the Packers would be a good... I mean, so if it's a selling... Did you go after Deion Jones? I mean, if the Falcons are just going to, you know, I'd like him in New Orleans.
You mean Julio Jones?
No, Deion Jones. Linebacker?
Oh, yeah.
You know, he has like 35 interceptions on Drew Brees?
Yeah.
Might be the only Falcon I'll take. Could you? Could you welcome a Falcon? I think if he makes you better, you could, huh? I think I could. Speaking of your New Orleans Saints, head coach Sean Payton, very simply, early today, he was asked, is there a date set on deciding when they want to or not play in Baton Rouge? Again, team officials met with LSU officials. The mayor came out and said, come on in. Let's have some football on a Sunday in Tiger Stadium. Coach, this morning.
Yeah, you're talking to the wrong person.
I had to ask somebody. Thanks.
No, I'm with you. But I would say this, though. That to me, that would be exciting.
Okay. So, there you go. The follow-up, though, of course, was would there be any challenges to playing in LSU? So Coach Payne saying it would be exciting.
I don't think there'll be I don't think there'll be many challenges. I mean, it's right up the road. You know, you'd be playing on grass outside in a great environment. And so, you know, if it was playing it in the dome with no fans or playing up there with 25,000 of our fans, then – every one of us would make the second choice, so we would embrace it.
So there you go. Coach saying they would embrace it. It'd be exciting. He likes the grass field, and more importantly, he likes 25,000 fans as opposed to none. Right? A couple other breaking news that just popped here as well. John J. Hendricks, who's going to join us at 1:30, tweeting that the NFL has sent out a statement, and that statement is that the Super Bowl that is scheduled to be in New Orleans still going to happen a year later. It's supposed to be here in 2024. It's now being moved a year later to 2025. The reason, Jordan?
Yeah, to kind of avoid conflict with Mardi Gras, the NFL announced today.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
There you go.
2025 is when we will have the Super Bowl, not 2024. Conflict with Mardi Gras, man. Will we have it this year? That's a big question everyone's asking. So, look, again, you know my opinion on it. It's real easy. Matt Moscona went on a rant yesterday. He feels strongly about, yeah, you know what? There should be fans. Let them play in front of people. And he can't wait for the Saints to play. If I'm Sean Payton, And you, I mean, again, you can deduce what you want from those two sound bites from this morning, but it sure sounds like from him, right? Bring it on. Let's go. Sheldon Rankins on maybe playing at LSU.
Slightly different. At that point, you know, weather would come into play somewhat, maybe. But at the end of the day, we play away games outside, so it's football. So, you know, if we got to, you know, head down to Baton Rouge and call, you know, Tiger Stadium a home game, then so be it. You know, we'll go down there and handle business just as we would, you know, if we're playing in a Superdome downtown.
Is that, I guess, just the epitome of the possibilities of how this year has gone with everything kind of, you know, if you have a plan, kind of just throw it out the window?
Yeah, really. I mean, listen, at this point, the one thing you can know about this year, you got to be flexible. You got to be able to, you know, go with the flow and understand that anything can come from any direction at any point. And, you know, you got to be able to handle it. So if that's the way we end up going, then, you know, then so be it. We'll go out there and we'll play great football and, you know, and call it a day.
Look, again, I think if you can plan it as it is, you're already staying in hotels here and even home games and things of that nature. Just now you know it's going to go out there. And I think, honestly, again, and I played it earlier on the show, Jordan, when you heard the amount of players on Sunday after the game mention the crowd, Jared Cook.
It would have been nice to do this in front of our fans tonight, and hopefully we can do that in a couple of weeks when it's a little bit more of a packed crowd in the house.
Right? Alvin Kamara mentioned the same thing as well.
We need our fans in that stadium. I mean, that's huge, but the fans that we did have, they did their part. You know, we just need some more, but you know, we fought and we just got a grimy win. We had to do that.
And look, they weren't making excuses for the slow start that, you know, you don't have that support and everything, but they mentioned that it does help sometimes, right? Pick you up, get you going, get that momentum going. Let's be honest, Jordan. No crowd, no noise is helping the opposing quarterback. Period. No crowd, no noise is helping the opposing quarterback. Gus, how many fans can really make a difference? 25,000 is not small. 25,000 fans can make some noise, even in a big venue like Tiger Stadium. Absolutely. I'm in. Some of the home games that could be there. Panthers, 49ers, Falcons. Oh, I don't know, Kansas City. On a 3:25 Saturday. Or Sunday afternoon. And the Vikings, also a 3:30 kickoff on Christmas. Now, again, will you have fans in the dome by then? I don't know. But we will see on that. Jordan?
Yeah, so other breaking news in the NFL. The NFL has announced that this year's Pro Bowl roster will be named, but no game will be played. Instead, the game will be replaced by a variety of engaging activities.
The heck does that mean?
I don't know.
Zoom it? Just Madden like, game? Maybe both rosters play Madden against one another?
Just don't even.
Yeah, exactly. What do you?
I don't think the ratings were ever, you know, that great.
Well, honestly, it was the most interesting thing ever for me. Because players will get bent out of shape, fans will get bent out of shape, and then really nobody wants to play the game, and the fans never watches it. Exactly. But nothing will irk the ire of players and fans as to Pro Bowl snubs. Right? Am I lying?
I guess you get that title.
Well, it also, well, a lot of times contracts have been tied into the amount of Pro Bowls that you've been in. And to be honest, Hall of Fame credit, 15-time Pro Bowler. Wow, really? So you wouldn't want to be known as a two-time intern of the year when you
is completely different.
Oh, is it? Is there? How come you've never
intern of the year is completely
different. Is that on me? Should I have entered you an intern
why,
of the year
or
intern of
you?
Louisiana?
I'm kind of heartbroken.
Do we even have that award?
Probably somewhere.
Ask Fletcher. He's a part of like the local press club awards. See if there's an intern category. Text him. See if there's an intern category.
Not
let's
texting.
Make one.
I'm not texting.
Why?
I'm not aggravating Fletcher.
I'll get you in. I'll put you down. I don't know. What would be your accomplishments? What have you done to make you intern of the year?
What haven't I done?
Well, we can start with today if you'd like, which you didn't do.
No, I did.
No, eventually you did.
I got it done in 10 minutes.
Once the show started, head coach Sean Payton was asked as well, Coach, what are we going to do about these deep balls?
No, listen, it's communication. It's communication, number one. It's one thing if a player's catching a contested ball. We're not talking about that. We're talking about a player being wide open, right? And so,
correct.
Two different throws last week were uncontested, communication issues, and things that we have to look at. Not just we got to look at that as coaches. It's hard for someone to be that open in our league. So, what are we doing? What aren't we communicating? And how can we be more efficient when we play a certain defense?
I haven't heard the mic'd up audio if he was or not, but I gotta imagine. It might have been like, how does he get that open? How is he that open, right? Uncle Earl, you got 60 seconds before we have to hit the break and welcome in Ali Cosell. Are you attending the race tomorrow at Vinny's? Hello, Earl. All right. We'll come to Earl.
Yeah, can you hear me, buddy?
Yes, sir. What you got, man?
Hey, man, real quick, Gus. How much of, if it's true, the Saints going to be going to Baton Rouge, or when you think we would, actually know that? And how many fans that could, that would be able to attend? I wouldn't mind going to a game, Gus, and I think actually that'll juice up the players some, man. We miss the fans at the stadium, buddy, even though it's in Tiger Stadium. I would love to go.
Yeah, I agree. I think it'd be fun to go over there. 25,000 is the number I've seen, and I just played those two bites from Sean Payton, and he would welcome it. He would call it exciting. There's no date set per se as to when it's going to be. I got to imagine it'd be soon. I know you got some time, but you know you want to get the logistics and everything else out there. Like I said, I'm Sean Payton, the second LSU, and the mayor from Baton Rouge both said we welcome you. I'd have said done. No animosity, no fighting, no bickering, nothing else needs to go on. Mayor feels differently based off of her concerns for the city, how she feels. Gotcha. We got to go do what we got to go do. No hard feelings. I just think that's how it should be. Hour 2 is brought to you by Vinny's. We'll be there tomorrow. Jordan will take on Sissy at the 12:45 mark in a foot race. If you want to come watch it, have some lunch as well. When we come back, Ali Cosell, a couple of finalists have been named, apparently, been leaked out. Wojnarowski, two big ones. Stan Van Gundy, Ty Lue. What does he think about that? Some of the assistants that have been mentioned as well. We'll mention that next on the Sports Hangover in your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans.
Greg's SUV clearance sale is going on now at Greg LeBlanc Toyota. Highlanders, RAV4s, and 4Runners are all marked down to the lowest prices. Plus, Greg LeBlanc needs your trade-in today to restock our used inventory. Great service, great deals. That's the Greg LeBlanc way. Our goal is to save every buyer $2,000. $2,000. Go to our website and find your perfect ride. That's Greg LeBlanc Toyota in Houma. GregLeBlancToyota.com.
Fleet Supply Warehouse has been providing the highest quality name brand batteries from AC Delco. Batteries for marine, car, truck, SUV, RV, ATV, motorcycle, golf cart, and dry cell batteries. They have Baldwin filters and more. Fleet Supply has your belt supply needs, including automotive, lawn equipment, agriculture, marine, and industrial. They have one of the largest belt selections and inventory in South Louisiana, located on Venture Boulevard in Houma, or call 985-868-0430 or check them out on Facebook.
Hey everyone, Gus Cattingill with the Sports Hangover. Excited to tell you about Men's Total Health. They're located at 3829 Vets, right behind the Fidelity Bank building, Suite 101B. Men's Total Health can help you be your best self. Testosterone therapy, annual physicals, and IV therapy. Look, go get tested. They have on-site labs. You can get test results while you're there. Low T can produce physical changes like reduced energy and increased body fat, reduced libido, ED, and give you emotional changes. Visit menstotalhealth.net today and see if they can help you.
Saunders and Chabe are attorneys at law have dedicated their practice to assisting serious accident victims with the highest quality and personal legal representation possible. You may have heard of Saunders and Chabe through word of mouth, but Saunders and Chabe specializes in serious motor vehicle accidents, offshore, river accidents, and injuries occurring on the job. They fight hard for their clients. Visit SaundersChabert.com or call Scotty Boy Chabe at 888-815-1974 for a free consultation. Saunders and Chabe, fighting hard for you all across Louisiana.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
It is always a pleasure when we welcome in Mr. Ollie Cosell. The Bird Writes, at The Bird Writes on Twitter. If you want to chime on in and see all the wonderful work that Ollie is posting up there. Ollie, how are you this afternoon, sir?
I'm doing great, Gus. We're finally getting some good news regarding the Pelicans, and it looks like we're going to have a new coach probably at sometime next week.
I feel the same way, too. Wouldn't be surprised if the weekend maybe a little Sunday splash report, even though there's no Saints game going on. I don't know. But look, man, let's get to it because you started hearing some names finally. I know, and we talked about a couple Fridays ago, that Ty Lue was going to meet with David Griffin. We knew that David Griffin reached out to Doc Rivers after he was let go by the Clippers, so we knew about that. But for the most part, it had been quiet. But then reports started coming out, and you clearly knew that they were doing some work behind the scenes and interviewing or talking to several, and then they nailed it or, I guess, narrowed it down to about four candidates, Adrian Wojnarowski announcing a couple of those as well. So let's go through them all in kind of the names that we've seen. What are the four that you think are the finalists?
Well, obviously, yeah. You mentioned Wojnarowski basically wrote in that two of the four finalists are Tyronn Lue and Stan Van Gundy, who's a little bit of a surprise. You know, at the start of this process, we heard Jeff's name, his brother, Jeff Van Gundy, a lot more. But Stan Van Gundy's emerged. I think that's a good thing. But as far as the remaining two, I've got to think they're younger guys. And we've got a good reason to believe that one of them may be Jamal Mosley. He's an assistant coach with the Dallas Mavericks. And another is possibly Will Weaver. He was the coach of the Sydney Kings this past year. He had the good fortunes of taking care of Didi Lozada down there in Australia. But people think very highly of him. And then, of course, there's some of the usual names that we've heard already. You know, Kenny Atkinson, Jason Kidd. But there's also some good assistants, too, right? So Darvin Ham, David Vanderpool, and Dan Craig down in Miami. So it'll be real interesting to see which other two get those final interviews with the Pelicans. But like I said, I think they're going to go look at some young guys. Go because, you know, David Griffin up in Cleveland grabbed a couple of fresh faces and David Blatton and Tyronn Lue. So I could see him trying to make a similar splash if he thinks that they can handle this roster and get the buy-in from the guys like he's looking for.
I think one of the other things to bring up as well, too, Ollie, is that this interviewing process and reaching out to candidates just isn't perhaps for head coaching. As you mentioned, maybe some fresh faces to help be a part of the bench as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's key, especially in Will Weaver's case. You know, he barely has any experience on as an assistant coach here in the NBA. He's been a video coordinator. He started off with Sam Hinkie and the Philadelphia 76ers and then moved on to be a special assistant to Kenny Atkinson in Brooklyn. But as far as like a lead assistant, he hasn't accrued any time like that. So to make that jump to a head coach seems kind of large. But then again, look, OKC, I think, is really interested in making him their head coach. So it says awful lot about what, you know, the league executives around the league consider of his talent, his ability. So I wouldn't be surprised if Griff would, you know, take that shot because it sounds like he's got that acumen.
You know, one of the things that I think is interesting is when you hear the big names as opposed to new faces, fresh faces, different looks and things of that nature. You always go to Ollie, what are you looking for, right? And I've asked you this several times. What do you think the Pels are looking for? What do you think is important? Things of that nature. So let's kind of go through at least some of these in particular and kind of look as to why. Well, why would Stan Van Gundy be somebody that David Griffin wants to look at? Why?
Well, I think Dee's answer there is he would probably immediately on day one get the kind of buy-in he's looking for. Look, I think it's pretty well regarded that Tyronn Lue is his top choice. But, you know, I think Tyronn Lue's case, from his perspective, he's viewing the Clippers and possibly the Houston Rockets job a little bit higher than New Orleans. So the odds of him landing in New Orleans seem, you know, kind of slim. And even Brian Windhorst admitted that fact yesterday on The Jump. So, of course, you need to if you want that experience, right? And it looks like, you know, people talk about retreads, Gus, and I'll tell you what, I think it's overblown. Look at just this past year, what Monty Williams did with Phoenix, and, of course, Frank Vogel, right, with the Los Angeles Lakers. And you don't have to look too far else in this past, especially this year, who's been hired, on how, you know, how important it is to get somebody that the players, these young players, are going to listen to in locker rooms. For instance, Billy Donovan got quickly hired by the Bulls. Doc Rivers immediately got hired by the Philadelphia 76ers. And even though Steve Nash has not coached before, you know, he's got such a reputation. He's done some work with the Warriors that he landed the job with Brooklyn. And we can't overlook Tom Thibodeau with the Knicks.
Very good point, because those coaches have had a, you know, a team or two, and they went back in. So there is something to be said on that. I think the other thing that intrigues me about Stan Van Gundy as well is his views. You hear him a lot here on ESPN Radio. Very good friends, and is always on the show with Dan Le Batard. So you kind of know his personality already. And, you know, J.J. Redick was on his team over there in Orlando, and it just does kind of seem like he could be relatable, I think, to today's NBA player, which, Ali, you and I have discussed this. If you're a coach at this level, you know your X's and O's. It's how can you get through to players? How can you get them to play defense? How can you get them, you mentioned, buy in? And more importantly, how can you get them to respect you? That's what an NBA coach needs to do.
You're absolutely right. And at first glance, you think Stan Van Gundy, he's been around, been a coach in three different places, and he's 61. He wouldn't be relatable, but that's simply not true, especially if you just follow his Twitter account that he started just a few months ago. And you can tell he's socially and politically aware. And so you've got to think that young players will gravitate towards him. And like I tweeted out, you know, with J.J. Redick in that locker room, I think an obvious bridge exists to where on day one, players are going to listen to him, because you know what? J.J. is respected in the Pelicans locker room. So that'll just simply transfer on to whoever he vouches for that comes in to be the next head coach.
What kind of, I guess, philosophy would he bring? Like, what is a Stan Van Gundy basketball team, and how would he look at this roster? I got to imagine that's a question David Griffin brings up, right? Like, what are you doing with our roster? What do you need, and what kind of basketball team would we be?
Right. And I love the fact that Stan Van Gundy was one of the innovators of where the three-point revolution was starting to take hold about 10 or so years ago. And, of course, he had Dwight Howard, perennial All-NBA player. And so he maximized his talent by giving him the space he needed to operate by surrounding him with four shooters, four legitimate shooters, to where even his power forward was Hedi Turkoglu and Rashard Lewis, who could really, you know, nail it down from deep. And so we kind of saw the success they had, right? They made it to a finals against the Los Angeles Lakers and had really a good run of four straight years to where that philosophy worked. But with Stan Van Gundy, he's not so much as, say, like a Mike D'Antoni, even Alvin Gentry, where they try and fit their strategy and schemes and make the players fit into that. Now, Stan's more of a guy that looks at what the roster has, and right, he therefore will comprise his schemes and strategies based off of that. So I think that's outstanding. You know, we saw some good highs and lows with Alvin, but with Stan, I think he would be more willing to basically operate with what he has with the talent on hand, and I think that would bode well. For instance, I've never liked Drew Holiday shooting a bunch of threes, right?
Right.
I think that Stan wouldn't force him to shoot eight threes a game, where he's just not, that's not really part of his game. Never has been, never will be.
It's a good point, because I think that's one of the important aspects of it is what kind of basketball team is it going to be? I know you and I kind of discussed it too when I look at the Pelicans, you know, space and pace, or, you know, trying to get all these shots up. I don't know if that's what Zion is. And that's okay if it's not. I mean, we've seen in the bubble some of the teams that had success were, you know, pick and roll teams. I mean, that Denver's not, hey, let's run it up and down the court. They have a lot of size. So I think you got to look at your roster realistically and who are your building pieces. And you said this already, essentially, it's to you, it's Brandon Ingram and Zion Williamson. And then we'll find out and figure out the rest of the pieces. But if those two of my pieces, they play differently, they can play together. We've seen that this year, but I don't know if it's necessarily run as fast as you can and jack up threes.
No, and I don't either. I think when you've got such unique talents that can score, whether you're in a half court or in fast break, you want to maximize those talents. And I remember telling you this about a month or so ago. Are we even sure you want to run a fastest pace in the league when you've got Zion Williamson, who proved in his first year, right, just getting on the court's a problem for him? And you look at his weight, his size. you want this guy running up and down the court. I mean, we witnessed DeMarcus Cousins break down in what was going to be look like a very good year for the Pelicans in the middle of 27 and 18. So I think there's that to consider as well. But look, with such good talent, I think you can go ahead now, like the Lakers do, you let LeBron operate the way Golden State and Oklahoma City did with Kevin Durant. I think you can kind of do the same thing with B.I. and Zion. Just take advantage of your talents because the opponents can't stop you no matter what you do.
That's a very good point for sure. Anything else? I guess with Ty Lue, everybody says the relationship, right? As to one of the key central points on that. So as we kind of close up, well, if it's not Ty Lue, do you see anything like for Moses or some of the other assistants that can have kind of what you say? Because, I mean, to me, you're I'm not saying you're selling me Stan Van Gundy, but I can see the fit, you know?
Yeah, honestly, with this roster, people say, look, it's a young roster. You can bring in a rookie head coach. I don't think we're synonymous at all, say, like when Lloyd Pierce got the job with the Hawks or Taylor Jenkins last year with the Grizzlies. No, the Pelicans had expectations this past year, and they're going to definitely have some this coming season. So you don't really want a rookie learning on a job. So I think that's why Griffin is going for more of the experienced candidates. And why I honestly think Stan Van Gundy may sit number two on his list. And this is especially true if, say, he could bring in Will Weaver to be on that bench as an assistant coach under Stan Van Gundy. I feel like that would be the next best thing instead of if you can't get Ty Lue.
Yep, there it is. As always, man, I appreciate looking forward to the next time you come on in and hang out. Mr. Ali Cosell, thank you so much, man. Appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Take care, guys. Thanks.
Yep. At Ali Cosell, editor-in-chief of At The Bird Writes, John J. Hendricks. We'll talk Saints and also the Super Bowl being moved back a year here in New Orleans. Why? Next on ESPN New Orleans. I picked you
out, I shook you up. When you're sick, you want to be close to home. World-class medicine doesn't require a trip to the city because the best care is close to home at Thibodeau Regional. We're continually adding new services, and our team of physicians has grown to more than 250.
That's a lot of doctors.
More doctors, more services, treating more conditions.
And keeping more families healthy.
World-class medicine, right here, close to home at Thibodeau Regional.
GEICO presents Monster Counseling.
Dracula, tell me how you're feeling.
No one understands how lonely it is. No one will even let me into their house. I knock and I knock, but they ignore me.
Uh-huh. What else?
I look in the mirror and I don't even see myself anymore.
If you don't see yourself clearly, can you really expect others to?
I'm having a breakthrough.
It's not easy to be a vampire. But with GEICO, it's super easy to switch and save hundreds on your car insurance.
Remember being in your favorite sport clips, getting set for that great MVP haircut experience? Yeah, how about if we made that wait even shorter? Now, with Sport Clips On Deck text alerts, when you check in online or with our app, we'll text you a 15-minute heads up when it's time to head in. And when you're the next man up, you'll get another text to come take your seat. Less wait time, more prime time. Sport Clips. It's good to be a guy.
The devastation caused by Hurricane Laura was unprecedented. You can prevent additional damage by making a free call to 811 a few days before you dig or disturb the ground in any way. Calling 811 helps protect you from unintentional consequences caused by digging into underground utility lines. After calling 811, wait the required time, confirm all marks, and then dig with care. Call 811 before you dig. It's the law. This message provided by Common Ground Alliance.
Can we talk
sports?
Real sports.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion. Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Hour two of the Sports Hangover. Welcome back. It's brought to you by Vinny's, 3217 Ridge Lake Drive over in Metairie. Again, the big news announced a little bit ago. LSU, Florida postponed December 12th. It's been rescheduled. Well, that's a tentative rescheduling. That's when they're trying to play. So keep your eye out on that one. Again, 19 total people on campus on that football team. Two assistants and players have tested positive this week. That just makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and just there's just been a lot of breaking news breaking today around the NFL. Mm-hmm. And one of the questions of the day has to do with Derrick Henry's stiff arm hurt around the world. Who do you prefer, the Saints' Shai Tuttle on Matt Ryan or Saints' Titans Derrick Henry on Josh Norman and leading the way still. 62.2% is Shy Tuttle over Derrick Henry.
I'm disappointed. That should be 95%. John Hendricks, John J. Hendricks, Sports Illustrated, joins us. I know that was a nice stiff arm yesterday. It was. Josh Norman in the air flying. But Shy Tuttle's stiff arm of noodle arm, how is that not a 98% pull right now in New Orleans?
Yeah, I don't understand that one either. That was iconic moment. Anytime you get your rival quarterback, and we all know Matt Ryan, and obviously there's a little bit of respect there and such, but, that was iconic. Even when you have those German announcers in it, that makes it even better.
Forgot about that.
Exactly. I don't know. I saw that. It'll be interesting to see if we get a chance to do that again. Are you surprised by the amount of chatter that that Julio Jones could be available, that Matt Ryan, this is it for him? The Falcons are going in full rebuild mode, apparently.
Yeah, look, they've said they're not going to look at doing the fire sale, but, I have a tough time believing that they probably won't do something just because this football team has a lot of things going on right now. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you would ask me at the beginning of the year, as much as you like to kind of see it, if you thought the Falcons would be in this position at this time, I would have laughed in your face, because I think they're way better talented, a lot more talent than what their record says. But look, sometimes it happens. We've seen Saints teams that were really talented and just couldn't do it and struggled and all that good stuff. So, it's interesting, but, it happens.
And that's the thing, John Hendricks. When you look at this is – you've heard Sean Payton say it, Drew Brees say it, Matt Ryan say it. The fine line between winning and losing in the NFL. On Monday night, it was a doink, John. You were there in the dome. It was a doink. If that field goal goes in by the Money Badger, can't believe a kicker names himself that, but the Money Badger makes the kick of 50 yards. We're talking about the secondary giving up a game-winning drive to a rookie quarterback who already set a Monday Night Football history mark, a 4-touchdown pass. And now we're talking completely different into the break. We're still concerned, but a doink. A doink's the difference between 3-2 and 2-3.
Yeah, look, I think the same thing. Obviously, it's good when you win, even though it's an ugly win, but it's still a win. So, you obviously are encouraged by that, but I think it goes back to some of this team. They could just as easily be 4-1 or 5-0 right now, but honestly, they could be 1-4 right now. But that's just kind of how football's played out this year. Just kind of how things have gone. It's some teams that we thought in the preseason, or not preseason, but before the season started, were going to be kind of the cream of the crop, and they've kind of fell flat on their face. And so the Saints, it's crazy and fortunate to be 3-2, but the important thing to remember is they've won their division game that they've had, and they've got a lot more coming up. So we always know that the path to the playoffs, you got to wrap up your division first. So again, there's tons of season left in this, obviously, but we got to make sure to see the Saints clean up a lot of their things. And look, Sean Payton even told us today, a lot of that they think is communication issues. Having to be better as coaches and such. So, we'll have to just see if that's something that gets fixed, because Teddy Bridgewater comes to town. Assuming it's New Orleans, this might be Baton Rouge, right?
Right. Right. No doubt about it. Look, when you take a look at the division, you mentioned Teddy, and that's going to be a storyline going into it, right? The Panthers went into the next level of protocol since a Falcon tested positive. So that's the storyline too going into their game this week. But assuming that, they we'll have another game. When you just take a look at the division right now going to the Saints bye week, is it what you expected or not when you look at Carolina, Tampa, New Orleans all having the same record at 3-2?
Well, it's definitely not what was expected. We heard Carolina was in rebuild mode, right? They weren't supposed to be what they are right now. And so, especially when you lose Christian McCaffrey, right? That's a huge loss, but Mike Davis has done fantastic work in place of him. And, look, Teddy Bridgewater, we knew what he was capable of, and he obviously helped pilot New Orleans to a 5-0 record last year. So I think in some aspects we're not surprised by it, but at the same time, I think we are a little bit surprised. But Robbie Anderson's looking really good as a pickup for them. And I think their defense was obviously a big question mark because they just lost so many players. I mean, Cam Newton, Greg Olsen, Luke Kuechly retires. You change from Ron Rivera. I mean, they're not supposed to be a team that it was expected to do these types of things. But, hey, sometimes with first-year coaches, they do make things like this happen. So, I mean, good for Teddy. And obviously there's a lot more football left, and it's not how you start, it's how you finish.
Falcons at the Vikings, Bears at the Panthers, Packers at the Bucks. So a chance for the Saints maybe to get a game lead or not. I don't know. We'll see how the Panthers and Buccaneers fare on that. I think when you look at this team coming out of the bye week, it's as important a stretch as any, isn't it, John? I mean, you got the Panthers, Bears, Bucks, and look, the Bears have a couple more wins than you. The other two teams, I mean, it's obvious. The same record with you now, but in that division, if you can get that second win on Tampa, that would be a help. Got to get that win on Carolina because of the same record. I think it's probably the important stretch of the season right now.
I mean, everything comes under a microscope now. And again, you looked how the season's unfolded so far. Again, you thought maybe this team would be a little bit better than what they are, obviously with their record and what it says. But, you know, again, the reality is we just don't know what's going to happen. And this seemed like a pretty soft part of the schedule once they got past Green Bay with the Chargers and then Panthers, but you know, it's a division opponent and Panthers are looking good. So that game's a little bit more important. Then you go on the road and play the Bears who upset the Bucks. And you know, the same could be happening for New Orleans, obviously, is what's in your mind with that. And you know, hopefully that's not something that comes up and you get guys like Le'Veon Bell who are available now and free agency. So he's somebody that, you know, you're just going to have to take a look at and see where he goes. He could wind up in Chicago. He could go a bunch of different places. But, you know, this stretch of games, obviously them getting healthy at a great time would be nice and fixing some of these things. But they're poised to make a big run, but they're going to have some games where it'll be a little bit tougher if they don't fix all these things.
John, two more questions for you here. When you look at the defense as to what they need to fix in an offense, what you would like to see going out of the break here, the deep ball, Sean Payton touched on it again today, the communication issues and things that ancient, that I guess, situation there. Is it that apparent? I think it's safety play. Corner play can be helped by better safety play. So I'm narrowing it down to better safety play. What do you want to see the Saints defense improve on out of the bye?
Yeah, I think it's definitely the secondary. You know, I mean, I think I've been happy with the pass rush. I've been happy with a lot of things, you know, and I think offensively you want to see some things and some situations, some third down looks that get a little bit better and cleaned up over the bye week and such. But, you know, I think overall when you look at it the glaring issue was the secondary. It's been the communication and look, I mean, it doesn't have to be perfect. I mean, but at the same time, you can't have those plays where you just make everything just look horrendous. You know, I mean, you got to, for somebody to be wide open like that. And I mean, it's clearly communication. And, you know, again, that type of stuff is the thing that'll kill you in January, assuming you get there. Right. And mm-hmm. I think some people have been taking a step back by this team and say, hey, look, you know, January's not promised right now, and even if the way they're playing, it wouldn't be surprising if this team would have an early exit in the playoffs again, just because of the product they're putting out on the field. So they've got a lot to really clean up, and I don't think they've found their groove yet. And again, the good news is I think they'll find it no problem. But, you know, here, if they don't make some believers over the next few games with some of the softer opponents on the schedule, quote, air quotes, if you want, then we'll have a lot more concerns on our plate.
All right, so what about on the offensive side of the football?
Yeah, look, I think the biggest thing is I think, obviously, you know Taysom Hill is going to be involved, and I think getting a touchdown on Monday night was big for him, just because, I think he's got a lot going on. I mean, you know, new dad, sometimes things change around there, and you know it as well as I do that life life changes. And again, I don't think it's going to be something to say, oh, well, I think this is a huge deal. But, you know, sometimes it's a little bit harder to wake up when you're having to or have the energy when you're being up all night with a crying baby or anything like that. But, you know, again, I say all that to say that I think Hill's found his groove. Hopefully that's what we're going to see based off of, you know, what we saw Monday night. And look, I want to see that, and I want to see that Drew continues to have his success, and obviously getting Michael Thomas back, which is, you know, been kind of an interesting spot in itself, is going to be big for this offense. But they look great running the football. They look great, you know, doing a lot of things and being able to come back. Obviously, it's not ideal, but the fact that the offense is able to move those balls in the two-minute drill, the four-minute drill, I mean, that's what you want to see on this.
John J. Hendricks, lead writer, reporter for at Saints News at SI Now. As always, man, appreciate the time in the afternoon. Thanks for joining us, man.
No problem. Happy to help. Have
there
a good rest of the show.
Yeah, thank you, man. Appreciate it. Quick break. We come back. Dr. Holly McKenna, is there any help for Jordan? I just like saying that. It has nothing to do with you.
No help.
Yes, there is. There's always help for you.
Yes, there is.
Yeah, you're only like 21 years old. You're fine. The whole world's in front of you. What?
Nothing.
What happened now?
Nothing.
During the interview? What? You have that look about you.
Nothing happened.
I don't know. We'll talk during the breaks. The Sports Hangover. Hour 2 is brought to you by Vinny's, 3217 Ridgelake Drive in Metairie. You're listening to the home of Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans.
This Black and Gold Football Report, sponsored by Southland Dodge, 6161 West Park Avenue in Houma. Here for you yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Southland Dodge bringing you the Black and Gold Football Report. Southland Dodge, Houma.
The Saints aren't going anywhere as they enter the bye week. Head coach Sean Payton saying that the team will stay in town for testing and to get in better shape. Plus, they got some work to do, such as figuring out these coverage busts. Not only do they have a lot of work to do.
And it's something that we have to. Like I said, there are a few things offensively and defensively that have, I don't want to say plagued us, but we haven't been as good at in the first quarter pole of the season. We've got to improve on those areas.
On the offensive end, running back Alvin Kamara says this bye week absolutely needs to be about improving.
I mean, it's definitely things we still got to figure out. You know, it's hard to win in this league. Every week is a challenge. You know, there's no game we're going into like, oh, yeah, this is an easy win. You know, we go into a game like we're trying to get the desired outcome, which is a win. But, you know, we know we got to come with our A game every game. So, you know, some games are faster starts than others. Some games, we're getting what we want more than other games. But, you know, it is what it is. It's a different flavor to every game. And
I'm Gus Cattingill. For more of the Black and Gold, keep it here on ESPN New Orleans.
This Black and Gold Football Report has been brought to you by Southland Dodge, 6161 West Park Avenue in Houma. Here for you yesterday, today, and tomorrow. The Black and Gold Football Report brought to you by Southland Dodge in Houma.
At Southland Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Fiat in Houma, you can get a great deal on a Ram at their Ram Power Days event. See their impressive lineup of new commercial trucks and vans. Southland Dodge has the perfect vehicle for your business with Ram's long-lasting new pickups or their efficient new Ram work vans. Choosing the right one should be easy. Get more for your business with a new Ram truck or van at Southland Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Fiat, 6161 West Park Avenue in Houma. Here for you yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Avenue Wine & Spirits has one of the largest and most diverse wine and spirit selections in the city. At 2025 St. Charles Avenue, Avenue Wine & Spirits has some of the rarest bourbons, wines, and Japanese whiskeys, like 18-year-old Yamasaki. Avenue Wine & Spirits sells wine by the glass, and they've got free delivery for orders over $20. Dial 504-522-3864. Never show up empty-handed to a watch party again. Avenue Wine & Spirits, 2025 St. Charles Avenue.
Easy, convenient, affordable. Lady of the Sea Family Medical Clinic in Cutoff, located directly in front of the hospital off of Highway 1 in Galliano, sees patients from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. weekdays and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on weekends. Same day appointments are available on weekdays with no appointment necessary beginning at 5 p.m. and anytime on weekends. The added convenience of a pharmacy at the same location makes it the best choice for patients in South Lafourche. We treat you like family at Lady of the Sea.
What would you say you do here?
Sports.
All day long.
Hello, sports fans.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Cattingill.
800-998-1003. I'm in trouble connecting with Dr. Holly McKenna. We'll get to her in a quick second. Jordan, question of the day.
Yeah, better stiff arm.
Mm-hmm.
Shy Tuttle
mm-hmm.
or Derrick Henry?
Mm-hmm.
Leading the way still is Shy Tuttle. Second question of the day is, Saints fans, are you okay with the Saints potentially playing in Baton Rouge? And those are your two questions of the day.
Again, head coach Sean Payton earlier today addressed local reporters, and he was asked about the team playing over there. He goes, look, there's no date set or anything specific that was ready to go, but he thought it would be exciting. And he said there's really no challenges. He's be ready to go, and, you know, let's see what happens. So we'll play a couple more Sean Payton bites and from Sheldon Rankins and Marquez Callaway, who had a really good game and a really good showing on Monday night. We'll do that at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. But as you know, each and every Wednesday around this time, we like to speak to the good doctor, Dr. Holly McKenna. Doctor, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Gus. How are you?
Doing fantastic. Let me ask you this. So in our profession, we always obviously cover injuries. I mean, we see a player get injured. We see a player go down. And normally our extent of the coverage is what is the injury and the extent of how long they'll be out. Now, we do hear from stories or athletes talk about the process to get back to health and what that is like. And I was just kind of thinking about that this morning. We saw a pretty gruesome injury with Dak Prescott from the Cowboys. This past weekend, we've seen Saints players go down. And knowing athletes and what they go through, it is a mental challenge. It is arduous, isn't it, Doctor?
Oh, absolutely. I think even those of us who aren't athletes can probably relate to having something happen that interrupts our day-to-day lives or interferes with what our passions are. I think right now with the pandemic, we have the perfect example for many of us. And, yeah, I mean, something like that is obviously going to have an effect on our physical health, but it's also going to affect us mentally. And I think it's important for us to recognize that and to kind of meet ourselves where we're at and know that maybe we're going to need some time to adjust mentally to what's going on before we can deal with it.
And I think part of that is just because of a lot of the things that we've talked already in our Wednesday segments is, disappointment, right? That immediacy of, cause I was saying to Jordan earlier in the show about this topic today, I was like, look, we can relate to this off the field as a non-athlete, right? I mean, we wanted, say, a job that we really liked and applied for, didn't get. We were in a relationship that either we liked or we would like to be in a relationship with somebody and we just don't get that go ahead. Things of that nature. Just that initial moment of why not me, and maybe can it lead to self-doubt, which can lead to other things. You get what I'm getting at?
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, that is unfortunately part of the process, because having a disappointment like that is something that we grieve over. And part of that is going through like what we would naturally see with grief as far as disbelief and anger and doubt and anxiety and all those feelings. And once we can kind of recognize that and maybe hold a space for that, it's important to let yourself maybe take a step back
mm-hmm.
and evaluate what you really want, like what your desires are, what your values are, and how you maybe want to see yourself in the next year, in the next 5 years, what you want that to look like. You know, using the example of not getting a job or a position, I mean, I've been in that place myself. It's really mm-hmm. kind of how I'm on the journey I'm on now. Really realizing that maybe that's not the path you're meant to be on, and then thinking about what do you want that path to be, and then looking at what steps can you take to get to that place versus sitting there wondering what you did wrong about something that already happened and there's really nothing you can do about other than maybe wasting some energy, like worrying about it when it's done.
Mm-hmm. And in that process, on the field, off the field, the way back to either health, and in this case, mental health, is kind of what we just touched on, I want to say, last week, right? Setting goals that you can achieve and attain, whether it's, hey, okay, fine, it may not be that I got this job, but maybe in the, a reason why I'm given is, well, you're not qualified for this, or I wish you had this experience or something. Well, then I know that, right? I can go get it. And, you know, in a physical manner, okay, it's, you know, I can have mobility again, and I don't need the crutches. Little goals, that's kind of what we've talked about, right?
Yes, absolutely. Breaking it down into something that's more easily attainable, that doesn't feel so overwhelming, so we get stuck and frozen with our feelings versus our actions. And then just taking that first step. Oftentimes, especially when anxiety and emotions get involved, we get frozen because it feels like so much. So just taking one small step, whatever it may be, can get you that much closer to whatever the goal is, and then it's going to feel less overwhelming because each step is going to get you closer and closer.
One of the other elements, obviously, is it's not only getting physically better, mentally help, but it, I've asked you this several times in a lot of our different topics as well, the benefit of support, right? Having friends and family understand you going through that and being there to either push you at times, saying things that you don't want to hear sometimes, but it's for the benefit of it. And at the same time, to just literally be supportive. And it can be a simple phone call. It could also be maybe being there when those times are, right? I need this experience to get this job. Hey, I know somebody. Jordan knows, you know, this application better. He can teach you, or things of that nature. There's so many things that we can do to help others. We really don't think that we can, huh?
Oh, yeah. And really, when you do that, you know, that's a way of actually indirectly helping yourself feel better too. Mm. So when you're able to achieve a goal, however large or small it is, looking back and giving someone a hand up to get to that goal as well is going to help you feel like you've really mastered whatever that skill or accomplishment is. And then also know that you're helping someone else get there too. So really it's a win-win. But yeah, it's something that, you know, we can all do for each other, especially when we're in a time like this where we do feel separated from each other because of physical distancing and what's been going on with the pandemic and what have you. So, right. I mean, anything that you can do to kind of help your fellow man is going to help your mental health as well. And, you know, even just having a buddy, even if that person maybe doesn't have the skill set you need, having someone to bounce ideas off of or just give you that encouragement or lending an ear when you need to talk it out is going to be super helpful.
Dr. McKenna, as always, I enjoy our conversations. People can go check out the YouTube channel and also DaraWellnessNola.com. What can they find on both?
Well, actually, this Thursday, tomorrow, I will be having a live at lunchtime with a woman who knows all there is to know about voting in Louisiana. So folks mm-hmm. who have questions about early voting, about what all the different areas of voting mean locally. It'll be a great source of information to either see live or later on YouTube and on my website. And then also there'll be information there as far as scheduling time with me. You can always schedule a call if you want to find out more information about what I do.
As always, appreciate the time. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Yep. Enjoy the rest of the week and weekend coming up. Jordan Kleber. See, I didn't even involve you in this conversation today.
Thank you, Gus.
You look like you have enough trouble.
I don't have any trouble.
I don't know. You have this look. Is it? No, why are you looking down? Look at me.
Life is good.
Hey, you get the race tomorrow.
I do get the race tomorrow.
800-998-1003, hour number 3. Give us a call on some of the headlines and topics we've touched on. Cajun Ninja 230, rest of the way is open to you. Plus, you can give your coaching advice for a one Jordan Kleber, who will take on Sissy in a foot race tomorrow around 12:45 outside of Vinny's. What should his strategy be tomorrow on 18th Street and Ridgeland?
Mine's have a cold one in my hand while running.
Okay, well, that's your strategy. If you would like to coach him up, give us a call. In hour 3 on your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans.
For summer DIY projects, you know the Home Depot's always in your corner. Now with our mobile app, it can also be in the palm of your hand with digital tools like image search, snap a picture of something,
It'll recognize it and serve up product suggestions in seconds. And our product locator will check availability and lead you right to it.